This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Tracking dangerous heat. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Thursday, July 21st. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
More than a third of Americans are under heat alerts. We'll explain the potential damage to your body if you don't take precautions when temperatures are soaring.
Russia today resumed supplying gas to Europe through a major pipeline, easing some concerns about retaliation over Western sanctions.
It's been a year since President Biden predicted rising inflation was temporary. Hear what administration officials are saying now.
And can tattoos on young adults hurt their careers?
When you look at tattoos, they're very much a generational sort of, there's a different opinion depending on the generation you're in. Boomers looked at that as, you know, you were a sailor, a biker, a loose woman, you know, and now you look at, you see tattoos everywhere.
Career strategist Julie Bauke examines tattoo perception on the job and during job interviews. The warnings continue from the National Weather Service for the roughly one-third of us across the country that are under heat alerts, drink fluids, and stay out of the sun. Triple digits were recorded from Arizona to Louisiana, and the scorching heat is expected to remain at least the next few days. Among other things, watch for signs of fatigue if you're in the heat. Dr. Shalom Sokolow is with Phelps Hospital in New York.
Something else that's a really important indicator is to look at the color of your urine. Clear urine is a very good sign. Dark urine is a sign of potential danger.
The heat was especially sweltering yesterday in Central California, the Southwest, the Plains, the Mid-Atlantic, the Northeast. It's so hot in Texas that the Dallas area rapid transit system is capping speeds at 30 miles an hour for trains. Also, firefighters in the Lone Star State are battling 18 active wildfires threatening 1,200 homes. The Fussell family in Glenmora, Louisiana, told Reuters they installed an air conditioner in the doghouse for their 15-year-old bulldog. Overseas now, Russia today resumes supplying gas via a major pipeline to Europe. There have been concerns Moscow would use its energy exports to push back against Western pressure over its invasion of Ukraine. The resumption of the Nord Stream pipeline at reduced capacity follows a 10-day annual maintenance break. Meanwhile, Russia's foreign minister says the Kremlin's goals have expanded beyond the eastern Donbas region in Ukraine and will expand further if the West keeps supplying Kyiv with long-range weapons, such as the high-mobility artillery rocket systems. On a related note, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said the U.S. will provide four additional rocket launchers to Ukraine.
Ukrainian forces are now using long-range rocket systems to great effect, including HIMARS, provided by the United States, and other systems from our allies and partners.
The U.S. says it's already transferred 12 such rocket launchers to Ukraine as part of its military assistance to the country and has trained 200 Ukrainians on using the system. A grand jury has indicted four men in connection with the death of 53 migrants last month in Texas during a smuggling operation. You'll recall dozens of them were packed in a tractor trailer in sweltering heat and found on the outskirts of San Antonio. More now from This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Federal prosecutors say the four men are tied to the deadliest known migrant smuggling attempt in U.S. history. In addition to the 50 adults and three children who died, another 10 adults and one child were injured. The victims were from Mexico, Guatemala, and Honduras. A man from Texas and a man from California now face charges, including transportation of illegal aliens resulting in death. They could face the death penalty or life in prison if convicted. Two Mexican defendants face lesser weapons charges. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Many of the victims suffered from heat stroke and heat exhaustion, and there were no signs of water or working air conditioning on the truck. Temperatures in the area that day had soared as high as 103 degrees.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome to Thursday. President Biden told Americans exactly 1 year ago that the annual inflation rate of 5.4% would be temporary. And he was right, but in the wrong direction. Consumer prices have since climbed to a rate of 9.1%. The rise has been so historic that Mr. Biden and his aides have given up trying to predict when the inflation rate will ease. Instead, they're looking for small victories in talking points. Here's Dave Boyer, deputy politics editor at the Washington Times. Dave, take us through it.
Yes. A year ago this week, Gordon, the president was asked at the White House about the high inflation, which at that point in July 2021 had reached an annual rate of 5.4%. And the president said, oh, it's temporary. That's our best expectation. And unfortunately, he was right. It was temporary. It kept going up. And you know, a year later, we're at 9.1% annual rate. And he and his advisors really have no inkling of what's going to happen next with inflation. So that's where we're at.
When his poll numbers have reflected, I guess, Americans' lack of confidence in his handling of the economy at this point?
Yes. CNBC came out with an economic survey this week that they do regularly that had Biden at the lowest level of any president ever in its survey. His approval rating was 30%. Very few people trust him to handle the economy, barely half of Democrats are happy with the way he's handling the economy. The polling just couldn't be worse for him in this midterm election year.
I don't even know, how you spin that or create talking points for that. What does the White House say in its defense here on this anniversary of, hey, this is only temporary?
That's what they get paid for, and they're sure trying. For example, Gordon, they point to the fact that in July, gas prices have come down. Yes, that's true. Everybody remembers before the 4th of July, the average price of gas around the country was over $5 a gallon. It has declined about 40 cents or so a gallon since then. So that is, quote unquote, good news. And there are some other things that they can cite as positive aspects of the economy. The unemployment rate, yes, it is still very low. It's 3.6%. And the stock market on Tuesday, at least, had a very good day. Some corporate earnings are coming in this week and show, strong earnings. So they're hopeful that the country can avoid a recession. But a lot of economists do not believe that's going to happen.
We're speaking with Dave Boyer, deputy politics editor at the Washington Times. His piece is called Possible Recession Looms on Anniversary of Biden's Prediction of Temporary Inflation. Some say we're already in a recession. I don't know if that's necessarily beneficial or not to the Biden administration, given political timing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's no good way to spin that one. It's, we did have negative contraction in the first quarter on GDP. Most people are expecting the second quarter to be even a little bit worse because the gas prices and other prices went up higher during that time period. Several big bank analysts have predicted that there will be a short-term recession into early next year. It just for the Democrats in the White House, it just is awful timing heading into the November election.
Yeah. I mean, you got in your story the White House Communications Director Kate Bedingfield saying in a memo, President Biden's top priority is tackling inflation and reducing prices, and his plan is working. Working how, I guess, and not to be a smart aleck, but in what way do they feel it's working?
No, and by the way, that probably will be Kate Bedingfield's last memo because she's leaving her job.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Very shortly. There are commodity prices in many cases have been coming down. Gas has been coming down. The president has been releasing vast amounts of oil from the country's strategic petroleum reserve. The White House argues that that has helped lower prices.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Boyer, deputy politics editor at The Washington Times. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Dangerous heat continues to grip much of the country as cities report record-breaking temperatures from coast to coast. Meteorologist Bob Orebeck of the National Weather Service.
There will be scattered records over the next few days, anywhere from the southwest all the way into the southeast, with a better chance of some records looking like they're going to come by Sunday, especially from the big cities from Richmond, D.C., Baltimore, Philadelphia, New York City, and Boston.
Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and Austin have already experienced more days of 100 degrees this year than they typically do over an entire summer.
Number two.
One soldier was killed and nine others injured in a lightning strike yesterday at Fort Gordon, an Army installation in Georgia. The lightning strike occurred yesterday morning while the soldiers were in a training area.
Number three.
President Biden says he considers the environmental risks created by climate change to be an emergency and signaled plans to use his presidential powers to turn the words into a formal official government action.
As president, I have a responsibility to act with urgency and resolve when our nation faces clear and present danger. And that's what climate change is about. It is literally, not figuratively, a clear and present danger.
Visiting a former coal-fired power plant that will soon support offshore wind energy, Biden said he was prepared to act unilaterally after Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia withdrew support from a climate funding bill last week. A bipartisan group of lawmakers is proposing an update of the Electoral Count Act to make clear that the vice president has no power to block the certification of the presidential election. The legislation was the result of months of negotiations between Republicans and Democrats eager to make changes to the 1887 law to eliminate uncertainty regarding the electoral process. Critics say ambiguities in the law were exploited by former President Trump and his allies when they tried to overturn President Biden's win. Well, if you've flown recently, this comes as no surprise. The Transportation Department recorded 2,413 complaints against airlines in May, compared with 814 in the same month of 2019. Complaints related to flight cancellations, delays, and missed connections have more than doubled since before the pandemic. Baggage-related issues soared to 516 from 190. And these numbers from May, the latest available, don't include the chaotic summer rush.
Wow. Thank you, Jen. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Thanks for joining us. Data compiled at LinkedIn finds about 60% of working Americans think what's considered professional has changed, and that includes tattoos in the workplace. So do they help or hurt your career? Here's Julie Bauke, career strategist at the Bauke Group. Julie, how do you see it?
You know, it's a big fat it depends, like a lot of things in the workplace are. When you look at tattoos, they're very much a generational sort of, there's a different opinion depending on the generation you're in. Boomers looked at that as, you know, you were a sailor, a biker, a loose woman, you know, and now you look at, you see tattoos everywhere. Now, it is somewhat generation dependent. It's also industry dependent. In a lot of more conservative industries, if you're in a customer-facing role, it may be looked down upon and you may not get the opportunities that you're looking for. And so it really depends on where you are, what your role is, and really I think you have to consider what your career goals are. If you work in a nonprofit, a foundation, a marketing firm, a startup, probably everyone around you is going to have a tattoo. If you're in an insurance company or a bank, it may be looked upon as less desirable, but by 2030, 74% of the workforce is going to be Gen Z and millennials. And so therefore, that 1.5% of boomers that will still be in the market in 2030, our impact and our opinion on all things like this will diminish. And so we are moving toward a place where not only is it going to be acceptable, but you probably won't be able to hire people without some sort of tattoos. And so I think our sensibility around that is changing, but it's going to continue to change.
Yeah, I guest lecture once in a while, and I tell students at Rutgers University, you might just have to play the game for a while. Like, tattoos are fine, but maybe just cover them up for, say, the job interview. And then ultimately, when you guys get to your late 30s, 40s, you'll be in charge just by the nature of experience, and you could change all the rules. But until then, you might just want to play the game.
Yeah, and when you look at, so clearly, I mean, there's a small tattoo on your ankle, and then you see these people who have tattoos across their foreheads. It's like, those are different levels. And clearly, if the more visible it is, if it's on your face, your neck, I still have to believe that it does, at least in this day and age, limit your opportunity. And I'm all about make decisions that keep your opportunities open as you age. So the decision you make at 18 to put a tattoo on your neck, you may say, well, I'm never going to work in a traditional environment anyway. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're going to want to do in 10 or 20 years.
Thanks, Julie. Julie Bauke, career strategist at the Bauke Group. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Do you know what over 100 million people worldwide have in common? Their password, 123456. When NordPass researched 50 different countries' top passwords, that was number one. Here in the U.S. too. It's like some people want to get hacked, but believe me, you don't. That's why you need NordPass. NordPass isn't just a password manager. It's an essential cybersecurity tool. It generates secure passwords and stores them all in one place. You can even securely store your credit cards there, too, to save time shopping and browsing. NordPass has a very easy, user-friendly setup. I was ready to go in just a couple of minutes. And I love how simple it is to organize your data into categories like credit cards or secure notes. That's for things like our Wi-Fi password or the office alarm code. And if you don't like it, it comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. Get an exclusive NordPass deal plus one additional month free at nordpass.com/Gordon or use code Gordon at checkout. That's an exclusive deal plus one additional month free if you go to nordpass.com/Gordon.
This is America's First News, preparing you for the day ahead with headlines and in-depth analysis. This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Thursday, July 21. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Nearly a third of Americans face heat warnings. Russia resumed gas supplies to Europe. Bloomberg says Russia plans to hold referendum votes to annex occupied Ukrainian land by September. Four men indicted in connection with a deadly human smuggling operation in Texas. Tesla has ended its streak of record profits. The Mega Millions jackpot for tomorrow, $630 million. Second half of the baseball season begins today, and the daring rescue by an Indiana man who saved a family from a house fire. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Dell Technologies provides growing businesses with the tools to do incredible things. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. Students continue to pack into flagship universities and brand-name colleges. Less prestigious schools are struggling. The number of colleges closing down in the past 10 years, around 200, has quadrupled compared with the previous decade. And in the past 4 years, there have been 95 college mergers, compared with 78 over the prior 18 years. More from Doug Belkin, higher education reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Doug, what's going on?
So to step back even further, you know, the number of people who went to college has been growing in the United States for generations, really, since World War II. And that continual growth snapped at the Great Recession. People began to feel like there was not a value in college and that it was very risky to take out loans and to get a degree. First of all, you may not get a degree, and if you did, it may not pay off. And so there began much more doubt and reconsideration of a college degree. And at the same time, there's been a sort of a demographic slide of the number of kids who are graduating. So this is happening, which means that the number of people who are going to college is getting a little bit smaller. There's still, you know, a lot of colleges out there who depend on this rising tide. And when these kids stopped going in numbers after the recession, there began to be an enrollment squeeze. And the folks who feel it have been the for-profit colleges, the community colleges, and these small liberal arts colleges, which can be pretty expensive.
Yeah.
COVID hits, the enrollment decline accelerates, and the squeeze tightens.
So explain what happened between Northeastern University in Boston and Mills College, this women's school out near Silicon Valley.
Mills is a 170-year-old, historically female college. They have some men at the graduate schools, but it's been all girls for 170 years. And it's a liberal arts school. They focus on feminist scholarship. They were the first school in the country to accept transgender students, non-binary students in 2014. So they've got this sort of rich history of social justice advocacy and trying to serve the underserved out there in the country. But because they're all women, you know, that cuts off almost half the population of college-going kids. And so when this enrollment crunch arrives, they have problems filling their classes, which means they're dependent on their revenue to pay their bills. And when they're not, when their classes are getting smaller, they're having a hard time paying their bills. And so they consider closing. And when they do, when they say they're going to close, they start reaching out to place the students who are already there. And one of the calls they reached out to was Northeastern, which is on the opposite side of the fence. They are a growing concern. They have a very practical education, and they jumped on this opportunity.
Hmm. We're speaking with Doug Belkin, higher education reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called Broke Colleges Resort to Mergers for Survival. So finish up then. So Northeastern, I don't know, it took Mills College under its umbrella as some sort of partnership. Money was given. How does it work now?
It's a funny transaction, because what Mills is interested in is continuing its mission, which is to serve women, feminist scholarship, and these sort of things. And they have this long history of it. What they have to parlay is about $1 billion worth of land, 135 acres in Oakland, which is worth a lot of money, a $200 million endowment, and really not much in the way of liabilities. What they have is a broken business model and a lot of assets. What Northeastern has is a very robust business model, and they're looking to expand. So they've got campuses now in 10 spots, and kids really want to go to this. They've got 90,000 applications for 2,000 spots last year. And, you know, that model works. And so they took Mills under their umbrella. They'll be offering the courses that has made Northeastern so popular, as well as the co-op, which is, you know, an internship program that they have as part of their education. And they'll also incorporate some of what Mills does in these liberal arts programs. But it will be Northeastern, or Mills College at Northeastern, and the degree will come from Northeastern. And I'm sure over time, Northeastern's footprint on Mills will become more and more defined.
Thanks, Doug. Doug Belkin, higher education reporter at the Wall Street Journal.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Hey, thanks for joining us on this Friday Eve. Welcome aboard. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we have a couple of fast food tales to tell you about today, one cheap and one pricey. Let's start with a fast food hack that could help you beat inflation. A TikTok user named Wyalina Ahmed has gone viral for her method for getting a huge amount of food from Chipotle for around $3, less than half the price of a burrito there. It all takes place on the Chipotle app, where she starts by selecting the Build Your Tacos feature. She went on to modify the taco quantity from 3 to 1 and chooses the soft flour tortilla option. She then chooses chicken as her protein, which brings her total to $3.05. Next, she modifies the free toppings from normal size into sides and adds a side tortilla to the order for 30 cents, bringing her grand total to $3.35 for what turns out to be a very large amount of food. The clip's been watched over 2.5 million times, and while some people praised her for the hack, others were worried that its popularity would mean that Chipotle would catch wind of it and the free ride would soon end.
Well, that's a lot of work. That's somebody who really knows Chipotle.
Yeah, and then what you wind up having to do is sort of put it all together yourself. Oh, you don't get that put-together burrito. You're sort of a do-it-yourself burrito at that point, which not everybody's going to be into. But, I mean, if you're trying to save some money, you want it is a lot of vegetables also, too. I don't think you get any extra chicken for this, right?
I see.
You get sort of one order of chicken and a whole lot of sides on top of it, is, you know, because all the sides are free.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I trust her. not something I'll do, but I trust her.
I mean, these days, you know, we can't turn down any possibility of saving some money on food, right?
Wow.
And from cheap eats to a very pricey sandwich, an Australian woman flying from Singapore back to her home country forgot to declare a Subway sandwich at customs after landing. The mistake cost her the equivalent of over $1,800. Jessica Lee detailed her sandwich snafu in a TikTok video that went viral with more than 1.5 million views as of yesterday. Lee said she traveled to Singapore for a vacation but was hungry on the way to the airport on the return leg home. She said she bought a Subway sandwich, ate half of it, then stowed the rest in her bag during the flight. Lee acknowledged she likely could have declared the Subway sandwich upon arriving in Australia but said she never thought about it. The good news is, once Subway found out about Jessica's fine, they sent her a gift card for the amount she had to pay, thanking her for eating fresh, and now she can do that free for a very long time.
Man, Australia's tough.
Yeah, they are, I guess, notoriously tough for their laws about bringing in outside food and animals and all that kind of stuff. You have to really be careful when you come into Australia.
Man, I don't know what when you saw this developing, I think I would have reached into my bag and just jammed that sandwich into my mouth and said, "Oh, what sandwich?
I wonder if she was given that option. Like, look, it'll take me, you know, a minute to finish off this 6-inch sandwich. You know, maybe I can do that and not have to pony up 18. But I guess maybe just for even the attempt at bringing it in, you know, was enough to warrant the fine.
I guess. Well, isn't there something like about the spirit of the law or something like that?
Where,
like,
I don't know.
I don't know that that's necessarily what officials had in mind when they created the law, like that. A half-eaten sandwich would be a problem? I don't know.
No humor among the customs agents in Australia. Remember that for your future travels.
Man. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save. Thanks for spending time with us. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter at Gordon Deal. Public health officials have warned people in hot areas to take measures to prevent heat stress, which can lead to potentially serious and even deadly heat illnesses like heat stroke. The Wall Street Journal looked at the effects of extreme heat. The human body is constantly trying to regulate its core body temperature, so when faced with extra heat, the body attempts to release some of it through sweating and by sending more blood from the warmer interior of the body to the skin surface where heat can dissipate. As sweat evaporates, cooling can occur, but excessive sweating can lead to dehydration and electrolyte imbalances, which can impact muscular and neurological systems. To send more blood to the skin surface, the heart beats faster and blood vessels dilate to accommodate more blood flow. This can cause a strain on the cardiovascular system, increasing risks of strokes and coronary events like heart attacks. If the body is unable to cool itself sufficiently, it can overheat, which when extreme can cause organ damage or failure and even death. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
More than 100 million Americans are in the path of a dangerous heat wave from the west to the northeast. Temperatures in the triple digits were recorded from Arizona to Louisiana. Emergency room physician Shalom Sokolow at New York's Phelps Hospital recommended drinking fluids and staying out of the sun.
Young, healthy people are extremely vulnerable because they don't know that it could happen to them and they don't take precautions.
Number two.
Overseas, Europe is suffering under an unprecedented heat wave, leaving firefighters in London dealing with a huge surge in emergency calls. The mayor of London says Wednesday was the busiest day for the fire service in the city since World War II. Firefighters in France, Spain, and Greece are also fighting to keep back wildfires exacerbated by heat and dry conditions.
Number three.
Four men have been indicted in connection with the deadliest known migrant smuggling attempt in U.S. history, where 53 people were found dead inside an abandoned tractor trailer in San Antonio. A federal grand jury in San Antonio returned an indictment against 46-year-old Homero Zamorano Jr. and 28-year-old Christian Martinez. Both men were charged with one count each of conspiracy to transport and transportation of illegal aliens resulting in death. The charges carry up to life in prison or the death penalty. Attorney General Merrick Garland is threatening to sue states that have outlawed or restricted abortion and says the Justice Department will ask a judge to toss out a Texas lawsuit seeking to block federal rules requiring doctors to perform abortions in emergency situations.
Justice Department is going to use every tool we have to ensure reproductive freedom.
Garland says lawyers would be looking at options including initiating litigation or joining private lawsuits against state abortion restrictions. He didn't say what legal footing those efforts would have after last month's ruling eliminated the constitutional right to abortion. A 411-acre Virginia farm that once belonged to close family members of George Washington is heading for auction in September with an expected suggested opening bid of $4 million. Known as Clifton, the property is listed on the National Register of Historic Places and was once owned by Warner Washington, a first cousin of George Washington, who is believed to have spent significant time on the property. It's located about an hour outside of Washington, D.C.
All right. Thank you, Jen. Thanks for being with us. An Indiana man ran into a burning home and saved five people, including a six-year-old girl he jumped out of a second-floor window with. 25-year-old Nick Bostic of Lafayette was driving early July 11 when he saw a house in flames. He stopped and ran inside to alert its residents. The Washington Post says an 18-year-old woman was in the home babysitting her three younger siblings plus another child while the parents were out playing darts. Mr. Bostic said the 18-year-old was able to get three of the children out, but she told him the six-year-old was missing. After locating her, he said his only option was to exit through a second-floor window, so he punched out the glass and jumped to safety with the girl in his arms. He suffered multiple injuries, but the six-year-old only suffered a minor cut to her foot. A GoFundMe for Mr. Bostic's medical bills had raised more than $470,000 by yesterday afternoon. He was released after 2 days in the hospital. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.